Colossians chapter 2, let's start in verse 1. We'll read down through verse number 3. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that reference there is to Christ, mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Last week we talked about being knit together in love. And there is a comfort in that. There is a comfort in being together, that our hearts might be comforted, and being knit together in love. And then it says, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. In verse number 3, and it says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we're going to look at that first here this evening, this idea of, in verse 2, it says all riches. And then in verse 3, it says all the treasures. And those riches in verse number 2 is understanding. And in verse number 3, it's wisdom and knowledge. And so those three things are connected. They're closely connected. And we should pay attention to those words. Understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8 this evening. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, we're going to start reading in verse number 1. Proverbs 8, in verse number 1, the Bible says, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. So in these first 9 verses, you have multiple times reference to wisdom, you have understanding, and you have knowledge, all three of them, the same ones that were mentioned in Colossians. And if we're going to put simple definitions on these terms, then knowledge is simply information, right? If you gain knowledge, that means you gain information. It's part of learning. When you get knowledge, when you gain knowledge, you're learning something. It's a perception of truth. You gain this knowledge in your mind, and you say, okay, I've learned that thing. And so it doesn't really matter what it is, but you learn something about something, right? You learn some new fact, some new thing, about some random topic, something you didn't know before. You've gained knowledge. Now, understanding is being able to comprehend that knowledge, to take that knowledge and kind of have an understanding, have a an ability to have a placement for it. Does that make sense? So I was an electrician, and you know that. Maybe I still am, technically. I don't know. How's that work? I don't know. Am I still an electrician, even though I don't do it anymore? Whatever. I used to do it. I still know some stuff about it, right? So let's say that I stand up here tonight, and I start talking to you about how from the electrical panel, you have to hook a wire up to a breaker and then run it to a switch, and then from the switch to the light. All right, and that breaker controls the current, and you know, you have to have a hot and a neutral, or a positive and a neutral, and eventually the light comes on if you have both of those things at the light. Now, you might say, okay, I didn't really know maybe in simple terms you knew that, but okay, so maybe I learned some piece of knowledge there. When it runs to the switch, way, way, way back in the day, I'm proving a point here. All right? I know you're not interested in electric, but I'm proving a point. Way back in the day, they used to, in the switch, they used to what we call break the switch. It would turn off the neutral going to a light. All right, and they don't do that anymore because it's not very safe. All right, so what they do now is they, when you turn the switch off, it cuts off the hot wire going to the light, right? Because it needs both of them to work. So now maybe there's some more information that you might not have known before. But it doesn't mean that I can tell you to go into a house and run all the wires in the house. You have some knowledge, but you don't really have understanding of how that works and what actually needs to be applied, right? So understanding is the next part of that. It's not just learning stuff. It's how do I place it? And wisdom is one more step further than that. Wisdom is right application of understanding. All right, so it's not just knowledge, but with knowledge, you want to have understanding. And then with understanding, you want to have wisdom. It's the practice of knowledge and understanding. That's what wisdom is. So in the spiritual world, in the spiritual realm as a Christian, you start to learn things about the Word of God. All right, so but you can have facts memorized about the Word of God, but you don't really have understanding. We want understanding from the Word of God. So what do? We come in here and we learn some knowledge, but then as we continue to grow, we gain understanding from the Word of God. And when we're sitting in here, that's about all we have access to implement. I know this, and now I understand this. But when we get outside of these doors, when we start living our life outside, and we get up and go do what we normally do, then we take that understanding, and once we start to apply it into our life, it can become wisdom. We can gain wisdom because we can look at a scenario and say, that I should stay away from. Why? Because I gained the knowledge and I gained understanding from the Bible. Now I'm going to apply that understanding and stay away from that. Yeah. That becomes wisdom. Or here's another situation. How can we apply any understanding of the Scripture to that situation? That becomes wisdom. That's why when the older you get, the wiser you're supposed to get. Why? Because you had knowledge at one point, and then, especially when you're young, and then you had a little bit of understanding, and you're like, let's just test this hypothesis, you know? My parents said this, my grandparents said that, don't know that to be true. So what are you going to do? You're going to be a knucklehead, and you're going to go out there, and you're going to test it, and you're going to see if it's accurate or not. And then the older you get, you come back and you say, I have wisdom now. What do you mean you have wisdom? I did it, shouldn't have done it. I had some basic understanding. Now I really know how to apply this, and it becomes wisdom. And so all of those things we can gain from the Bible. We can gain from the Bible. And we, listen, I know that experience is the best teacher, but not when that experience came with heartache. Not when that experience came with regret. That's not the best teacher. The best teacher is learn from the Bible, learn from other people's mistakes, trust and believe what the Word of God says, and then live according to that. We don't have to run away from the Lord to find out that the small pleasures we gain in the flesh end up in regret when we can put down our own pride. We have to learn that. It doesn't happen on accident, but it's better to look at the Word of God and say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that thing because the Bible says to stay away from that. And so that's what I'm going to do. What is that? That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Nobody has to go out in the world and experience all the garbage of the world to be able to come back in and say, you know what? You shouldn't do that because I did it. That's not a bragging point. Especially if someone was saved. That's not a pat on the back. We should be able to take the things of the Scriptures, and when the Lord teaches us something from the Scriptures, we should say, okay, I believe it. so I'm not going to mess with it. Or I'm going to do it. Why? Because that wisdom we can gain from the Word of God. And the Bible in Colossians, it talks about all riches and all the treasures. Those are understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. Where in Proverbs 8, look in verse number 10. Proverbs 8, verse 10. Receive my instruction. Now again, this is wisdom crying. Wisdom is the one that's crying in the streets and understanding. And verse 10, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Look in verse 18. Riches and honor are with me. Who's talking? Wisdom. Yea, durable riches. See what it says? Durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The problem is we read verses like all these, and we get on a one-track mind. What's that? Money. Riches, money. The Bible says, no, not that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that's valuable. That's what the Bible's saying. I'm talking about something that's durable. I'm talking about something that's lasting. Right? You can take the wisdom from God and put it in your mind and live according to the wisdom of God. You can enjoy that after the money's all gone. You can enjoy that in life after, if everything else goes, you can still have that financially. Proverbs chapter 3. Look in chapter 3 in verse 13. Proverbs 3 verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. What is that? Wisdom. It's wisdom. It's wisdom and understanding. Knowing... how to comprehend, knowing what to do with the knowledge, and then knowing how to apply that knowledge into wisdom and how you live. The Bible talks about that here. And again, Proverbs is written by who? Solomon. Solomon had wisdom given to him from God. If you remember the story, the Lord comes to Solomon and says, what do you want? All right, well, I'm waiting for the qualifier, Lord. What do you mean, what do I want? Lord says, what do you want? Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Solomon's like, huh. I mean, if the Lord came to you with that, there's a lot of stuff, right? There's a lot of possibilities. How much time do I have? I need to think this one through. I got one wish. I need to think this one through. He comes to him and says, what do you want? Solomon already had some wisdom, obviously. And Solomon says, you know what? I'm just a kid. I'm just a young guy, and now I'm in charge of ruling over your people. I need to know how to do that. I need wisdom to know how to lead your people. And God said, wow, that's pretty impressive. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you that, and because he didn't ask for long life, and because he didn't ask for money, and because he didn't ask for your enemies' heads, I'm going to give all that to you too. And so he gave him wisdom, but he didn't just have wisdom. He had riches. A lot of it. A lot. Did you ever read about the stuff that was coming to Solomon, like all the time? His daily allowance. I'm like, what did he do with all that? It couldn't have been just for him. It couldn't have been. It's impossible. He couldn't have done anything with all of the allowance that was given to him. So I'm assuming that it was given to him to disperse to other people directly, but He had riches. And so what does he write? Wisdom, way better than the riches. That's what he says. And he had both. It's easy for me to say wisdom's way better than riches when I don't have that much. right? It's easy to stand up here and be like, yeah, wisdom's way better than money. You want money? Yeah, I'll take more. But when someone that had a lot of both, it means it should mean something. Look in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. In verse 1. We need to understand what riches are. Proverbs 23, verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Now, I know that verse can be, it's a good way to diet, I guess. But it's not talking about that. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. See the connection? We want to be rich, but that's our own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. That's what happens to the money. What happens to it? Well, we wonder where it goes. Oh, I got some money. What happened? Where'd it go? I don't know. It's gone. It comes and it goes. That's what happens. But when the Bible talks about this here, it talks about this labor not to be rich. So the Bible tells us all we need to know. It gives us the exact perspective we need. It gives us the perspective on riches that you and I need to have. Why? Because we need to understand what is of real value, right? Value and cost are two different things, right? If someone dumped more money than you could ever spend in a lifetime on you, but you lost your health, what would it be worth? It'd just be sitting in the bank. What would you do? Buy a new house? So if you had poor health, you could just look at it, right? You buy a new car so you could look out the window and just look at, wow, that's pretty nice. That's what I've always wanted. But if you don't have the health to be able to drive it, what does it do for you? It doesn't do anything. And so the Bible gives us, what does it give us? It gives us wisdom. It gives us wisdom on how we should perceive things. Look at Matthew 13 says. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 22. This is the parable of the sower, but we're going to pull something out here. Verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. All right, we understand that seed is the word of God. That's what it says in the explanation of the parable. That seed is the word of God. And what happens? The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. What happens? That's someone that doesn't have wisdom applied. It doesn't understand what's important from the Bible. All right, look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. What's it say in verse 9? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. In verse 8, he just says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. All right, verse number 9 isn't saying someone that's going to be rich. It says someone, but they that will be rich. It's tied into their desires. It's tied into what they're going after. It's tied into, it's what it's to say, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money in and of itself. It's that people love it too much and people want it too much, and they put too much of an emphasis on that type of riches. And God says, you want riches? I can give you riches, and it's not going to be tied to your bank account. It's not going to be tied to your savings account or your 401k or your investments. It's not going to be tied to any of that. The riches that I'm going to give you is what's going to matter. And so it's the perspective of all riches and all the treasures. I mean, we can read Proverbs 8 and say, oh yeah, the wisdom of God. You know, yeah, that's better than rubies and, ooh, rubies. Right? It's easy. Oh yeah, I believe that. Right? It's easy to believe that when you don't have access to the money. But wait until you have access to money and then see what happens. Well, maybe I can do both of these. Right? Because it's, look in verse 17, same chapter, verse 17. He says, charge them that are rich in this world. So there are people that have money. And having money is not wrong. Being rich is not wrong. That's what the world says, right? Isn't the whole mentality? Oh, the man. Who's the man? Someone that has like $3 more than the person saying the man. It's just the next one up. Oh, the man, I can't believe. Oh, all these people that are super rich. Right? And they blame everything on rich people. Why? Well, it's jealousy. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong, but look what it says. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Look what it says. Nor trust in what kind of riches? Uncertain riches. But in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. See, if the Lord giveth us richly all things to enjoy, he must not be talking about money. Because we all probably have different varying degrees of money in here. And whoever has the most, it's not wrong to have money. We're just not supposed to trust in that money. We're supposed to trust in God. And we're supposed to understand that he's given us richly all things to enjoy. And then he tells them in verse 18, he says, he giveth all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works. See, he changes it. He's telling people that have money, they are rich. Hey, be rich in good works. Do good. Be ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. That term often means giving. God says, I've given you all this money, and if you're saved and you have some perspective, then, hey, I've given it all to you, and I've given you everything else to richly enjoy. But I've given it to you, so what are you to do? You're supposed to open up your pocketbook and give it away to those that need it. That's what he says. I mean, if you have some money, God gave it to you, right? Yeah, so we should do what he wants to do with it. So it's not wrong to have money. It's just we're not supposed to make it a god in our lives. And boy, I mean, Americans, right? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's how am I going to go out there and make the most money and have the most stuff and go out there and get all I can. Right? I just want everything that I can possibly get. And Christians need to be careful. They need to be careful. Why? Because it trumps everything else. It's just, how can we get it? What can we do to get money? What can we do to get more money once we have enough money? What is enough? Well, I don't know. I don't have it yet. I'll tell you when I know what enough is when I get it. And so what happens is many a Christian get derailed from what God wants them to do because they're chasing money. Because they're just chasing it. And listen, I've never made a ton of money in my life to be rich or anything like that, but I've been offered a pretty good amount of money to not do what the Lord wanted me to do. Say, what happened? Well, to the glory of God, I said, no thanks. Why? Because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. If we're to be content with food and raiment, well, I've got much more than that. The Lord's taking care of me. I have a lot more than that. And so the Bible says in verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. There is where it's at. That's where we should be trying to live. is content with what God has given us and what God has provided for us, and to be content. Like I said, many a young person has felt the calling of God in their life, and then all of a sudden they feel this pressure, and I got to go do this, and I got to go do that, and all of a sudden they get a little bit of money, and they start thinking, oh man, well, I can do this thing, and I can do this next thing. And before you know it, they're just chasing money, and they're spending it as fast as they get it, and then off they go. The Lord says, whoa, 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 whoa. No, I want you to go in this direction. I'll take care of you. And they're like, nope. And they just go, right? Shoot for the stars. And what does that mean? Dollar signs. What can I get? And it's unfortunate. We need to gain some wisdom from the Word of God. And in Colossians chapter 2, he says in verse 2, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. The full assurance of understanding. Once you gain some understanding from the Lord, you can realize that that's what you can rest in. And it kind of seems like it's backwards. Once you get older in life, you start to gain some wisdom, but now you don't have the opportunities to use the wisdom that you once did. And when you're young, you seem to have no wisdom and all the energy in the world to run around and try to do everything. And so you go out there messing around, and then all of a sudden you start to gain some wisdom and go, oh. But again, that doesn't have to be the case. Why? Because we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. And we have the lessons and the teaching from the Word of God. Why do you think that for 18 years I spent teaching teenagers and trying to do what? Instill wisdom into them from the Word of God. They're not going to believe what I'm saying. Because at some point I'm just like their dad or anybody else. So it's just whatever. You're just telling me stuff. But when they see it from the Word of God and say, listen, this tells you how to live. This tells you what to stay away from. Read Proverbs. That's why it's good to read a proverb every day. Why? Because it tells you stuff that you should learn. And as a young person or a young Christian, you can read it and absorb it and say, man, why didn't I know this before? Or I've learned this, right? It stinks to learn it from experience, have regrets, and then go to the Bible and say, it was right there the whole time. Why didn't I listen to it? And so we can gain that knowledge. We can gain that understanding. And when it comes from the Lord, there is full assurance of understanding that is offered to us. Look in Psalm 147. Psalm 147. We just have to know where it comes from. We have to know how to get it and what we're to be asking for. Psalm 147. Look in verse 5, Psalm 147, 5. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Who? His, not ours. His understanding is infinite. Look in Job 32. Job 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Where does that understanding come from? The Almighty. It comes from God. It gives an understanding. Look in Luke 24. Luke 24, this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and this is the chapter where we get where Jesus Christ is on the road to Emmaus and talking to the young men, and then from there he ends up with the disciples. Luke 24, look in verse 41. Jesus Christ shows up and he says, hey, look at me. He says, I'm not in 39, he says, I'm not just a spirit. I have flesh and bones, right? So he was spiritual, right? It wasn't a spirit as in like a ghost. It was his spiritual body, right? Because he just walked through the doors. It's a spiritual body, but it can be touched and it can be handled. And it's physical as well. Verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Before you read your Bible in the morning, or whenever you read it, you know what you should do? Lord, help me to understand. Teach me something. Give me some understanding. Give me some wisdom from your word. Why? Because our minds are just feeble. They're frail. We're weak. And this Bible is better than any computer they're going to ever come up with. The things that are in this book, that's one thing with all the AI stuff and all the computers and supercomputers and all the stuff that they can do and all the calculations they can make per second and all the amounts of information you can dump into them. Well, they have certainly scanned a Bible into computers. Sure. And what's the computer get? Facts. That's what a computer gets. It gets facts. I mean, you probably have a Bible app on your phone. And what can you do? You can punch in a reference, and it'll take you right there. You can type in a word, and it'll get it every time the word shows up. But what is that? That's information. Right? That's it. It's a knowledge. A computer has no understanding from the scriptures. It's not going to gain any wisdom from the scriptures. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. That's why some extremely intelligent people can go to the Word of God and they can read the Bible and come out and say, I don't believe God exists. Why? Because it's more than just how smart we are. It's spiritual understanding. It's spiritual wisdom that comes from God. And so here in Luke chapter 24, you have the irony of John 1:1, the Word of God, opening up the understanding of his disciples to what? The Word of God. The Word of God in the flesh to the Word of God in the Scriptures, one to the other. Look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. When I was a teenager and wanting to justify my own actions, I thought because I knew some Bible facts that I was pretty smart. I thought I had some things figured out because I knew some Bible stories. I grew up in church and learned all the books of the Bible and heard the Bible stories and watched my dad draw charts on the whiteboard, you know, and I thought I knew some stuff. And the problem was I had some knowledge with very little understanding and less wisdom. Very little understanding and less wisdom on top of that is what I had. But, you know, well, I know some things about the Bible. I know some verses about the Bible. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. Then you have to live. And when you get on your own and start making your own decisions, you can know all kinds of Bible facts and be dumb. You can be an idiot in the choices that you make in your life. Why? Because they're not of the things of God. They're decisions made with no wisdom and very little understanding. Psalm 119, 144. Where am I? I'm not in the right spot. You guys must have distracted me. Psalm 119, 144. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Give me understanding. That's what David cries. Look in verse 169. 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. What kind of understanding? According to the word of God. That's what David was asking for. Understanding it meant something. Look in verse 130, same chapter, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. That's what I say to the Lord sometimes. Lord, I'm simple. I have nothing figured out. I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, but you're the pastor. You know some stuff. You know what? The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. The more that I get into scriptures and start putting something together and look up and study something, and I go, okay, I got a couple things down. All right, thank you, Lord. It's stuck in there, at least for now. And then I go, oh, but wait. I don't know anything. I get in there and I think, just when I think I've learned, figured something out, finally, that I realize there's so much more that I don't understand. Look in verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Why? Because the false way doesn't bring any understanding. It's just a lie. It's just deceit. But understanding comes from the word of God. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. I mean, it's right there. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What happens? He opens up the book of Proverbs and says, hey, I'm writing all this stuff so that you can figure it out. I'm giving you access to wisdom and instruction and knowledge and justice and judgment and equity. I'm giving you some access to subtlety. I'm giving you access to discretion. That's a whole nother topic that Christians lack. Discretion. Having some type of discretion. Increase in learning and understanding and wise counsels. That's what it's for. Look in chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 2. In verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. There's an effort there. There's a desire, comes from the heart, that you want understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Why? Because Solomon knows you'll do anything for money. Yeah. You ever wonder sometimes how much time you'll spend to gain an extra couple bucks? And yet, reading the Word of God and spending time in the Scriptures is like, oh, I don't really want to do that. Why? Because our value is all in the wrong place. Right. We think 20 bucks is worth way more than the Scriptures. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What do we have? We have the Scriptures. We have the Scriptures. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Imagine if I stood up here on the first Sunday of the new year and I said, all right, anyone, we're going to have to go on the honor system, but anyone who takes read the Bible through in a year calendar. Anyone who does that, I'll give you $1,000. You know what we would have? An increase in people that read their Bible through in a year. But you know what the trick is? That's because they value the $1,000 more than what they can get out of the Scripture. You know how much more you'd gain out of the scriptures if you read it through at least once in a year? You know how much of more value than $1,000 you'd gain? But if we said, I'll offer you $1,000. I mean, do you ever see kids, teenagers? You know, they have no value of money. Everything is just like, we want money. And so you can offer them like a nickel. Like, go run through the woods in the dark at full speed and I'll give you $10. They'd be like, I'm in. Right? After they wake up, then they can spend their $10. But we lose the understanding of what is really of value. Proverbs 4, verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You can almost hear like the strain in a father's voice to his son. Wisdom is the principal thing. There, get it. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And the Bible is very clear on this thing of wisdom. Colossians 2, in verse 2, he says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. Where are they? They're in Christ. They're in salvation. They're in His Word. That's where all the treasures and all the riches, that's where they are. And so, where should our value be? Our value should be on the Word of God and on wisdom. If you have a lot of money or you make good money, that's okay. Put it in perspective. Put it in perspective. Understand what God wants and what God desires. I mean, once you get some wisdom, that's when you start saying things like, I wouldn't trade this for all the money in the world. Right? Very few people mean that if they were ever offered all the money in the world. But you know, you wouldn't trade your salvation for all the money in the world. I mean, right? Nobody would trade all the money in the world in this short life for hell. Nobody would ever do that. But a lot of people do trade other things in this life. And they trade in their contentment for some money in the bank. And, man, there's so much to gain from the Word here. And next week we'll look at some verses about Christ and the times that He offers His riches. He offers all these riches, and if you're not careful, you'll be like, oh, I get money. No, more than that. You get more than that from the Lord with what He has to offer.